harming an actual animal. This could be really bad for a lot of our threatened and endangered species friends. So it's just a way that the executive branch is looking into this world of regulations, of definitions, of guidances, and seeing what leverage they have to change things. Again, without dealing with the statutes themselves, to really make things harder for people who care about the land, who care about communities, who care about the wildlife that we share this with. So, that was a lot. I even went a little fast to try and fit it all in. Apologies for all that heavy news. We will talk a little bit at the end about actions. And I just want to remind you all before handing this off to Grace that, like, we're all in this together. Like, one of the amazing things about the Forest Climate Alliance is it's a coming together of people and resources across the entire region who are looking at this and who care about this. And that this will get more important than ever, that we really like tend our ecosystem of strategic action to respond to the executive actions, as well as the legislative and judicial ones that we'll be talking about in the very near future. And I look forward to continuing this conversation with you both at the end of this webinar and then again in August when we talk about the judicial actions.
That's it for this episode of Coast Range Radio. As I mentioned in my intro, you can hear the rest of this presentation on the Coast Range Radio.
You're listening podcast to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM in the Portland area and all over the world at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communication Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Welcome to Labor Radio on KBOO Portland. I am Michael Cathcart.
And I'm Elliot Gilland.
Thank you so much for joining us. We would first just like to give a special thanks and shout out to the Labor Radio Podcast Network for hosting podcasted versions of our show each month. Be sure to check that out at laborradionetwork.org. And before we get started, I want to let you all know that KBOO has been on the air for 55 years, making us one of the oldest community radio stations in the country and one of the longest-standing media institutions in Portland. And we've been able to remain a commercial-free, volunteer-powered resource for this community because of the support from amazing people like you. And now, more than ever, we turn to our community to keep our mission alive and help us supplement the $110,000 we are losing in federal funding due to Congress's vote to cut federal grants for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So if you can, please help us continue to serve this wonderful community by donating today. Just go to kboo.fm/give. We here at Labor Radio thank you so much for your support. So on this episode, we are going to be taking a look at the recent shakeup that has taken place at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And, you know, kind of dive into what that means for working Americans. Just as kind of a recap, on August 1st of this year, 2025, the previous commissioner for the Bureau of Labor Statistics, or BLS, as we'll continue to refer to it, was fired by the Trump administration. So basically, hours after the Bureau released a disappointing July jobs report, that had just showed just 73,000 jobs being added to the economy, which was well below the expectations. And it also showed massive downward revisions totaling 258,000 fewer jobs for May and June. Trump and his, you know, cohorts decided to fire the commissioner who had, you know, presented those statistics to them, which, you know, is a funny move to basically take data given to someone from someone and then say, I'm going to fire you and blame you for this, rather than saying, like, looking at the numbers and, you know, internalizing what that means, basically just, you know, shooting the messenger essentially. Now, of course, Trump and his, you know, the people around him accused the previous head of the BLS of, you know, who was appointed by Biden, of manipulating the data for political purposes. And they claim that the numbers were, you know, quote, rigged to hurt Republicans and to help Democrats. There's, of course, no evidence to support any of these claims, much like basically every other claim that comes out of the White House, especially the ones, you know, about political hit jobs and stuff like that. But, you know, it's not surprising that this is what they would do when they got disappointing information, that they would lash out and reject that information rather than try and actually deal with the facts on the ground as presented. But it certainly didn't help the previous head's case that they were appointed by President Biden, who, you know, much like in Trump's first term, everything that he didn't like was Obama's fault. This time around, everything that he doesn't like is Biden's fault. And so firing someone who presents some disappointing information, who also has the political win of being a Biden appointee, is kind of a no-brainer on his part, but pretty disappointing. So it also, this move signals a, you know, a further shift towards the politicization of just data, of just the numbers of how our economy and our country operate. It, you know, it undermines the independence and credibility of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is shifting it from a nonpartisan institution towards a political accountability, or towards political accountability to the president's preferences. So, you know, taking a bureau that is, their sole job is just to look at the economy, look at, you know, working the numbers of working people in this country, and then present that data so it can then be used for whatever purpose is necessary, but specifically probably to put in place policies that actually increase jobs or help working people or help companies hire people. It is now going to be completely we're not going to be able to trust the numbers that are coming out of this department anymore. And it will likely be used to downplay the hits to the economy that are coming as a result of tariffs and other, you know, bad policies coming out of the White House. And it'll be hard for, you know, individuals or for organizations or people who try and use that data to, you know, paint a broader picture of the economy to be able to do so with accuracy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, when the power in the White House changes, there's always some amount of turnover. But I think a lot of these, you know, kind of less public facing positions have also typically been able to survive as long as, you know, they're not doing some horrific job. And so I think the thing we're seeing a lot with this Trump presidency is just getting his people in at every single level of the government. And, you know, we talk about a lot, I think it goes underrepresented a lot, of one of the biggest powers of the executive branch is the ability to just appoint people into these roles and do things. Because not all of it has to be codified by Congress or things like that. And so, you know, this is just another example of Trump seeing data he doesn't like and kicking a person out. You know, if he probably had his way and if it wouldn't look bad on him, he'd probably try to remove Jerome Powell as well.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, I think he knows that if he did that, it would look really bad, especially because he's Republican.
Yeah. And he appointed him too.
Yeah. Yeah. And he appointed him. So it's, you know, and just another example of like a person in a more traditional presidency like Joe Biden's, where, you know, Jerome Powell survives that.
Yeah. Yeah. Coming from the holdover from the Trump administration, it is not a situation where Biden goes, I don't like that the interest rates are high during my presidency, therefore I am just going to fire you and get someone in who will change that, you know, manipulate that for my own political interests.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, and again, this is kind of a larger trend with this administration or, you know, regime, but like doing things like this are the things that dictators do. This is what authoritarians do. You have someone who presents you bad news and you know, have them killed, or you have their job axed. You replace them with a sycophant, you know, someone who is going to just give you the information you want, regardless of the factual basis of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it's the kind of thing we've seen this administration do across the board, everywhere, replacing people who have been, you know, longstanding positions or in those positions for a long time and who have been reliable in those positions, replacing them with people who are just there to suck up to Trump. And this is unfortunately no different from that, but it has the added negative of being a thing that, you know, it's not just replacing someone at the head of a Bureau of Transportation that's going to do things that the administration wants, but this is actually going to impact the basis of fact that we have. Like, we are not going to have true numbers in terms of jobs numbers that we can trust coming out of the White House or coming out of the government because of this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's similar to like firing or to getting rid of the weather data that is being provided by those satellites by that the administration wants to crash those weather satellites, because then you just cannot trust actual weather data. This will be the same thing, but for jobs numbers and for, you know, getting a barometer of how the economy is doing as a whole. And, you know, unsurprisingly, there is a lot of demoralization. You know, the people within the Bureau are pretty demoralized. There's internal communications for the Bureau of Labor Statistics that are describing, you know, that describe shock and dismay using words like depressed or, you know, crazy within emails and communiques within, you know, between employees within that division. And it, you know, just indicates like there is a serious morale crisis and trust issues within that agency that will likely lead to attrition. You know, there'll probably be other people leaving as a result of this, and then they'll be able to, you know, hire more people for that agency that will just follow the mission of give Trump what he wants, regardless of fact. So, you know, that's not surprising, but it is pretty depressing. And, you know, experts are warning now that the BLS was already struggling with shrinking sample sizes and staff shortages and data collection challenges. All of these things now will, of course, be potentially exacerbated by this abrupt shakeup in leadership. So again, just further highlighting that this move is going to undermine the reliability and the ability in general of the Bureau of Labor Statistics to provide us with true labor statistics. Not a great start here. And that's just the first half of this. The second half of it is who has been appointed to be the new commissioner of the BLS. And unsurprisingly, it's someone with an incredible partisan bent towards the Trump administration's ends, and, you know, even beyond that, like to the broader right-wing project, the 2025 Project 2025 mission. So the person who has been nominated to be the new commissioner of the BLS is E.J. Antoni, who is the chief economist at the Arch Conservative Heritage Foundation. And of course, you know, he's known for his ties to Project 2025, among a myriad of other horrifying things. Antoni has publicly denounced the methodology used by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, calling the agency, quote, a random number generator, end quote, and labeling its data as phony baloney. So already off the bat, coming in hot, basically saying, we don't trust the numbers, and we're going to completely upend how they collect this information and the data that's going to be provided by the Bureau. Antoni has also floated the idea of suspending monthly jobs reports in favor of quarterly releases, which is a move that is widely criticized for reducing the timeliness and transparency of critical labor data. So, you know, yet another thing that will likely lead to just less trustworthy information and reduce the ability of other people who use this, rely on this information, to use that information.
Yeah. Well, and I think what's really funny is with this in particular, it's just that there has been so much language around, you know, hey, come in and run the government like a business.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single business that would allow someone running a department to say, you know what, I'm not actually going to report on any data to the board these months. I'm only going to do quarterly. You don't get to know middle of the quarter. You don't get to know how we're doing, how the performance is going. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I could understand the take of, hey, sometimes when you look at numbers within a quarter, they can have different outcomes and meanings.
Of course.
But to not report them at all for whatever kind of hidden purpose there is kind of crazy. And the other thing I want to call out is, again, it's not a trend that we at Labor Radio are calling out and creating, but obviously this trend of hiring people and putting them into government roles where they don't believe in the department that they're running is just a very scary trend, whether it's the Secretary of Education who doesn't believe in public schools, or in this case, like with BLS, it's right. These are just core foundational things. We need a partisan or like a nonpartisan group that can, you know, tell us what's happening with the economy. And if we can't do that, we can't make informed decisions.
I think that's a really good point. Like, this is just another in a series of moves by Trump to basically reduce the effectiveness of all government services and bureaus by, yeah, getting rid of people, like putting in charge people of these agencies who do not fundamentally believe in the mission of that agency or seek to fully undermine or shift what the purpose of that agency is. Yeah. Like, yeah, you mentioned some great examples. Another great one is Sean Duffy at the head of transportation, which, you know, has immediately gone in and cut funding for all rail projects in the country and all public transit projects, and in favor of just more highway funding, which is clearly not the vision of the future and not what the actual mission of that agency was and should continue to be. But it is doing so through purely an ideological lens meant to, you know, enrich the people who fund the Trump administration, who are already being enriched by their association with it. And then, yeah, on top of all that, adding someone who was, one of the main writers of Project 2025 as the head of an organization that's supposed to tell us unbiased numbers and facts and truth is, you know, that's pretty Orwellian right there. But yeah, I mean, you also said it too. Like, if, you know, even if they're, as their stated goal is to run the government more efficiently, like a business, like you said, there is no publicly traded company whose board would allow the CEO to make a decision that would provide less transparency and less trustworthy numbers about how the company is doing to them and allow that person to remain in charge. And so, like, this is not actually, despite, you know, all the rhetoric, they're not running they're not attempting to run this government as a business. They're attempting to run it as a con and as like a grift.
And themselves. Just hope people don't pay attention.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, economists from both ends of the spectrum have really raised alarm bells about this decision. The nomination, you know, it threatens the nonpartisan integrity of the Bureau, which is, you know, pretty clear. But critics are also arguing that Antoni lacks relevant experience and his prior statements suggest deep partisan leanings. So again, just another example of putting someone in charge of an agency or a bureau who has zero experience in that field and is just there for purely political ends. And so, you know, Antoni's nomination combined with other troubling remarks from people like Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, who, you know, himself dismissed the independence of statistical agencies. All of this has fueled widespread fears that the administration is actively eroding the statistical independence of government data. So yeah, the larger picture here is that this is just part of like a larger project to reduce the ability for anyone to trust what is coming, the information being presented by the US government. You know, whether that be scientists or economists in this country, or whether that be foreign leaders or, you know, international labor unions or anything like that. Like, no one is going to be able to trust the raw data that is being presented across the board by this government. And then here specifically about the jobs information, the labor statistics coming out of this government. And yeah, that is just that's part of the larger project to just, you know, not allow us to believe what we see and hear with our own eyes, you know, like to just completely confuse everyone into the point where they can no longer, they don't know what's, you know, be able to divide fact from fiction and allow cover for the Trump administration and all of their cronies to just rob the government blind and rob all of us blind, you know, in the process. So not surprising, but very disappointing that this is where this is headed. You know, some of the major concerns here, obviously, the firing the commissioner solely for unfavorable data and replacing them with a partisan political figure really destroys foundational trust that is required for accurate and reliable economic data. So again, you know, doing this, not even being seen to be doing this for economic reasons or data reasons, but just being seen to do this for purely ideological and political reasons means that even, you know, if this is like, even if Antoni isn't going to be nominated or will not be accepted as the head of this department, it just undermines moving forward anyone's trust in the numbers that will come out from this division. You know, even if there is somehow a Democrat who takes office again in the future, people may never fully trust the numbers that come out of the Bureau of Labor Statistics again because of this. Now, you know, workers, unions, and policymakers, alike rely on timely, unbiased labor data to advocate for fair wages, you know, job opportunities, and policy interventions and things like that. And so by degrading this data, that all threatens really the health of labor markets and of the social safety nets that exist, you know, the few that still exist. It basically threatens our ability to support those things. And then also, you know, by favoring political loyalty over technical competence, it really indicates that there is a larger ideological alignment that is taking place right now and is putting the priority of the sort of ideological alignment over proven expertise or commitment to statistical neutrality. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Labor Radio here on listener-supported KBOO Community Radio. We'll get back to our discussion about the Bureau of Labor Statistics in just a moment, but first I want to drop a quick reminder to please consider donating to KBOO now and help us remain a commercial-free, volunteer-powered resource for this community. Now, more than ever, we turn to our community to keep the mission alive and help us supplement the $110,000 that we are losing in federal funding due to Congress's vote to cut federal grants for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So if you can, please consider going today and donating at kboo.fm/give or by mailing your donation to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Thank you so much for supporting Community Powered Radio, and we are now going to get back to our discussion here. So yeah, we've been talking about the recent shakeup at the Bureau of Labor Statistics that was really all kind of brought about because of the July jobs reports and the numbers not being what Trump wanted, you know, being worse than expected, but also just not being what would bolster his argument for the booming economy and making America great again. And so as a result of that, Trump went ahead and, you know, instead of addressing the numbers head on or, you know, trying to change course to make those numbers look better, Trump decided to just fire the person who presented those numbers to him. So the commissioner, the previous commissioner of the BLS has been fired, and the new nominee is a major member of the Heritage Foundation, the incredibly right-wing, almost fascistic organization, the Heritage Foundation. And in fact, just a little aside with this, there was recently the Antoni, the person who's being nominated, was being interviewed on television and via Zoom. And in the background of the image that he was presenting was a painting on the wall behind him. And people recognized, historians recognized pretty quickly that it was a ship. And the ship that was presented behind him is the Bismarck, which was one of the main Nazi battleships built during World War II. So, you know, I am not necessarily an expert in this.
Strange choice.
Yeah, exactly. Like, to be an American and to be presenting that as the main thing, you choose your background when you make one, yeah. You know, a video like that. And you chose to show that. That's, you know, that's beyond, I think, a dog whistle. It's like a dog bullhorn or something like that. But anyways, that's the person who is being put in charge of, you know, the numbers that really indicates that we can probably no longer trust those numbers. You know, one of the things that Antoni wants to do is to curtail monthly data releases, and that's going to erode, you know, real-time visibility into labor markets, and it will effectively silence indicators that workers, journalists, and economists use to hold policymakers accountable for shifts in the economy and for, you know, trends that oftentimes end up hurting workers.
Well, and I was going to say too, I think it's also another kind of sign in a long run of troubling signs for, you know, union workers within the government.
Yeah.
Right. Like, this is another kind of, right, just kind of indirect way that they're kind of attacking the institutions themselves and the people that work there. And again, I think it's, you know, we've said it so many times on the show, but I think it is a canary in the coal mine.
Yes.
Of like, the way that they are going to treat federal workers is the way that they want to treat private sector workers. Yeah. Right. And so this is, again, it is just another troubling data point in a series of troubling touch points that we clearly have enough data to show a line at this point.
Yeah, because right, like doing this, you know, doing this on the federal level means that they are expecting that states might do the same things with their internal, you know, jobs numbers, at least like Republican states. Mm-hmm. And yeah, all of the things that this administration has done to hurt workers at the federal level is just a prelude to what they want to do to the rest of us.
Yeah, absolutely. The International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers, or the IFPTE, you know, for those who love an acronym, who represents tens of thousands of federal workers, issued a very strong statement. Quote, Trump's actions reflect broader anti-worker politics that try to hide the economic realities workers face. They underscored the civil servants are meant to serve facts, not political convenience. And again, I think that is every union on the face of the earth should have a response similar to that.
Yeah.
Because they're seeing exactly what this administration wants to do to them. And you know, from our point of view as well, to editorialize slightly is, yeah, I think we're seeing just, again, a troubling direction in terms of a lot of unions not standing up and talking about what they're seeing, right? There's been an increase in management-friendly union leaders, right? From Sean O'Brien, who is the president of the Teamsters, speaking at the RNC last year, right? And then also, we don't love to talk too much about sports unions, but you know what's going on with the NFLPA right now and the gigantic controversy that has come out of this, again, concerning trend towards management-friendly union leaders designed to negotiate instead of fight for better outcomes, right? We're just kind of along down the line. We're seeing just some troubling direction.
Yeah, and like without true support from the federal level and from the federal government for workers' issues and for the right to organize and labor unions, the right for labor unions to exist in general, I think we're going to see more and more of these things, like more and more class traitors at the head of unions, doing the bidding, acting like they're working for the rank and file, but really they are actually doing the bidding of their class peers within the elite.
I mean, again, we hammer on it all the time, but the executive branch takes a massive, massive stance on how laws are interpreted and executed against.
Yeah.
And right, just because we have laws, if we don't have an NLRB that's going to chase people, right? Or right, if we don't have an FTC commissioner like Lina Khan to, go after companies that are doing, trying to create monopolies or do these sorts of things, it doesn't matter what the laws say if we're not executing against them.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Like the laws can be on the books. If no one's enforcing them, if they don't have any teeth, then what do they actually matter?
It opens the door for people to write, like EJ Antonian, basically say, I'm just going to stop reporting on this stuff unless I like what it says.
Right. Yeah. Because like the Bureau of Labor Statistics is still going to exist. On paper, it will still be fulfilling its function that it was set out to do. But in reality, it will be not actually doing that. It will be reducing the output it has, and it will be undercutting the reliability and the trustworthiness of that output. So on paper, it exists, but in reality, a lot of these things just will be for show. Unfortunately, we are running low on time here. So just quickly, just to sum it all up, this whole incident has been more than like a staffing shakeup. It really is a direct attack on the lifeblood of worker advocacy and informed democracy. Reliable data isn't neutral. It empowers workers and underpins strong institutions and anchors fair policymaking. So, eroding the foundation of that jeopardizes everything from wage justice to labor rights. Unfortunately, we are out of time here. We will certainly follow up on this as, things develop on this story. But we have been Labor Radio. I've been Michael Cathcart.
And I'm Elliot Gilliland.
Thank you so much for listening.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience. KBOO, Portland.
All My Greatest Teacher Showed Me Love, a new mental health program hosted by Zan, providing tips and tools along with music, interviews to lighten and brighten in these uncertain times. Join the community every first and third Wednesday from 10 to 11 a.m. only on KBOO 90.7. All you need is love.